From the CAD model that you've put forward, what is the simple message from that for practicing physiotherapists to take away?
Well, at the most fundamental level, it's a matter of, okay, I'm a physiotherapist and I see patients, and patients come to me with head and neck pain. And there's a whole bunch of reasons why somebody would have head and neck pain. Very commonly, it's due to the dysfunction of the musculoskeletal system and somebody's response to pain and the way their brain's interpreting their centrally important influencing motor output and all that. So that's a very common type of head and neck pain. But there are other causes of head and neck pain as well, like cancer, infection, whatever. And also, a cause of head and neck pain can be a vascular one. So there's something wrong with the vascular tissue and the blood flow to the brain. So it's simply another cause of head and neck pain. So when we're seeing a patient and we're generating our hypotheses, it could be that is one hypothesis, which you would then test by the appropriate questioning in your examination. And it's those sorts of questions we've tried to highlight in the CAD framework. So if you think about this, it's a very different way to understanding a patient from the VBI pre-manip model, where we would say, I've got a patient with head and neck pain, I want to manipulate them, I'll just check first of all if they're going to have a stroke or not. Well, that's a largely uninformative, not very useful way to think. So again, it's just basic clinical reasoning, basic pattern recognition, generating appropriate hypotheses, asking the right questions, perhaps doing the right physical examination, and making a sound clinical decision based on all of that data.
So really, CAD is a subgroup of patients who your patient could present with symptoms that lead you to think that they may well be in this subgroup, and it's a hypothesis that you either need to prove or disprove. Instead of just being a test that you do, a pre-manipulative test that you do, basically.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And so do you use this framework in anticipation of performing manual therapy techniques? Or should you move more on to looking at the IFOMP framework that has been published recently?
Well, the two things are very similar now, because the IFOMP framework is very reflective of the work that Alan and myself have done. So the basic reasoning within the IFOMP framework is the same as what we've just been talking about there.
Yeah.
In relation to manual therapy and doing manual therapy, that issue sort of sorts itself out, because what we're trying to do here is identify patients with potential vascular pathology, the CAD thing, or a predisposition to CAD. And then with those patients, we wouldn't really want to be doing any manual therapy techniques that compromise the vascular tissues anyway, if it's a patient with a predisposition. And if it was a patient presenting with an actual pathology, which means impending stroke, then we're going to refer those patients on anyway. So the issue of your manual therapy causing a stroke becomes less and less of an issue, because you've ended up with a subgroup of patients who aren't at risk of arterial dysfunction, as far as we know from the evidence. Of course, there's going to be stray ones in there with some bizarre spontaneous issues. But by and large, you've segregated your patients to such an extent that the ones that haven't got CAD, you're fairly happy with doing whatever we want to. And we know from the blood flow studies now that a lot of the techniques that we do, like some of the manipulation techniques, don't really have an effect on the blood flow in the way that we thought they would just a few years ago. So the issue of techniques being dangerous is not really an issue, because we should say, well, dangerous to who? Yeah, if she was doing it on that guy with impending stroke, it is dangerous.
Yeah.
If you're doing it to these people, which are the vast part of the population, there is no real danger clinically, epidemiologically, scientifically, it doesn't appear to me. So that issue of, you know, the CAD framework relates to manual therapy very well, I think, from that perspective. But it's not a matter of the old way of doing things where we do a test before we do a minute to see if there's going to be a problem. We know that model doesn't work empirically.
Sure. So it's kind of removing removing that subgroup of patients who do have CAD from possible risk from orthopedic manual therapy intervention.
Yes.
What I should point out is in the IFOMP framework here that orthopedic manual therapy interventions includes manipulation, mobilization, and exercise.
Yes, and we'd even add to that, although we haven't stated it in the framework, even parts of the assessment.
Yeah.
Because the issue is, if we think about the risk subgroup now, the people with a CAD pathology, so for example, one of those pathologies might be something like a very fragile atherosclerotic pathology in the carotid artery where there's some emboli just about to blow and give a major stroke. Now, we know from some blood flow studies that extension of the neck influences the hemodynamics in the carotid artery. Now, so if I got that patient who sat in that very risky subgroup and I got them sat on the end of the bed and I got them to look up to the ceiling during assessment, that's a risky procedure. So
sure.
The idea of expanding the range of movements, manipulation movements, mobilization movements, assessment movements, exercise, is to think about the nature of the movement itself and how that relates to the blood flow in a particular vessel, like that example there. So
a lot of the assessment for this subgroup of patients should indicate that it might come from clear subjective questioning.
Yes, yeah.
So in your initial patient report and when you're questioning them when they first come in, before you do anything, any physical techniques or assessment, even assessment with them.
Absolutely. So within the framework, we try to give some sort of guidance towards that. So again, we try to identify a particular pathological pattern.
Yeah.
And we have detail from clinical scientist studies that, so use the example of the carotid artery again. A pathology in the carotid artery tends to present with pain in a certain distribution around the head and neck of a certain nature, so you'll try to pick up on those clues. There'll be a predisposition of the patient to have that pathology, which is related to their cardiovascular risk, so we want to ask questions about their predisposition, the nature of the pain, the onset of the pain. We know certain types of mechanical forces affect vessels in certain ways, so we can map that onto it as well. And the way the pain's behaving since it's been on can be characteristic of a vascular problem rather than a neuromusculoskeletal problem. So all that, of course, should be identified in the history taking.
Yeah.
And you're planning for the physical examination, it's got to be influenced by that. And if you're scoring a lot of points on that in the history taking, and you think, crappy, yeah, this guy here fits into this CAD thing, he's got this drooping eyelid, he's got these things going on, that's a very characteristic of a serious neurovascular event about to happen. The last thing you're going to do then is get that guy and do your normal physiotherapy assessment, looking at his range of movement and stuff, because that's not the subgroup of patients he's in. Now, there are other types of physical examination we can do for CAD, but they should be the icing on the cake, really. The bulk of the reasoning and decision making should be made in the history taking.